Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Your lesson plan. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. We are excited. We are ending, finishing, completing our series on Lord of the Things. If you are a visitor, we're in week four of this series, Lord of the Things. We're going to have a little special deal at the end of our message today. There's a young man who went to Harvard University. He was there for a couple of years and started to realize that college wasn't exactly what he wanted. He got an idea for a company, asked his dad for some money, $40,000 or so, to invest in his new idea. Dad said, you know, I can't pay for college and your idea. He says, pay for my idea. Took the money with his friend, started a company, invested his talents, the cash, his hard work, his creativity, his intelligence. He invested all of that in his idea. Today, he's worth over $240 billion. Bill Gates is his name. He took everything that he had and he invested both feet. If you look in your lesson plan, there's a little statement I want to read with you. It says, The Lord of the Things is a series on personal stewardship and a guide to the biblical management of the resources with which God has blessed you. Stewardship or kingdom investing based on biblical lordship will result in resource multiplication. Everything God has given you, he's going to require back from you, but multiplied. Everything God has given you, he's going to require back from you, but multiplied. First thing, you have to understand what God has given you. Not only in things and skills and talent, but he's given you opportunity. And so we're going to read a little parable today about that, because week one, we talked about fasting in this series. We talked about taking care of your body. Week two, we talked about lordship is obedience, if you remember that. Last week, we talked about letting go. You can't obey unless you let go. In other words, you can't do what God says unless you let go of control of your life, control of all your things. But if you do those things properly, what will result is you will have multiplication in your life. I gave a challenge. I don't know if I gave it to this service last week, but I challenged the other services, maybe you too, and said, if you obey God with all diligence for 30 days in every area of your life will radically be different. And if not, don't come back to church. Did I tell y'all that? Okay, tell you it again. If you do everything God says, the way God said it, to the nth degree, and you let go and you let him call the shots in your life will be radically different. Matter of fact, if you did the fast, if you really did it, I'm not talking about, you fasted, gossip. Now, I'm not saying that's bad. You should never gossip. But, you say, well, I'm not going to talk about her this week. I'm not talking about that, even though that would change your life. But if you really stopped eating and you really went to juice only and you really, and even took it into an extra further, did water some of those days, your life had to change. You had to. And so if you do everything God says, you will see a multiplication effect in your life, not only in your own physical possessions necessarily, but the fruit, the spiritual fruit of your life will multiply. And if you pay attention, your life won't be the same. So we'll read the story. Let's read the story. Chapter 25, verse 14. This is a parable. A parable is a story that Jesus would tell to really communicate one single point. Parables aren't stories that you take every little point and you make them something else necessarily that he's trying to tell you. But he's trying to communicate one simple point, and the point is that one day the Lord is going to come back and hold you accountable for what he's given you. That's the point of this story. Verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who has called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents. Everyone say 5 talents. To another he gave 2. Say 2. To another 1. Say 1. And to each according to his own ability, immediately he went on a journey. He who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, he who received the 2 made 2 more, 100% return. But he who received the 1 talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Now let's talk about this for a minute. First it says the kingdom of heaven. One of the purposes of the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, was written by Matthew, And each gospel was written by a different person for a very specific purpose. And one of the purposes of the book of Matthew was to teach that Christ was the Messiah of the kingdom of heaven. The term kingdom of heaven is used 32 times in Matthew, never again in the whole New Testament. So when it says the kingdom of heaven, this is the only time it was ever used in this book. And so what he's telling us is that the kingdom of heaven is like, he's comparing it to something. This guy who gives his talents, money, to his servants, he goes away and he comes back and he says, what did you do with my money? Now, anytime you hear the kingdom of heaven, you may, in theology, they'll teach you the kingdom of heaven is, the kingdom is now, but not yet. You might hear that term. In other words, there are principles that apply to heaven that are here on earth, but the kingdom is not fully here, because the kingdom of God technically is wherever God is in complete control. So it's kind of here, but it's not completely here, because the devil's in control of some stuff here still. Man is still in control of some stuff here still. But there's still rules that apply to the kingdom that apply to our life today. The challenge is, will we live by the rules of the world or the rules of the kingdom of God? Jesus is here teaching us kingdom of God principles for living, okay? Matter of fact, in the kingdom, in our world, we say we want to take. The kingdom of God says give. In our world, we say bless me. The kingdom of God says no, bless others. Matter of fact, I want to do that right now. There are people here who are in the choir sitting all throughout the sanctuary. If y'all are here, you can all stand up. I think there's a few of them. Just stand up. Stand up. If you're around one of those people, what we're going to do, we're going to pray for them. Kingdom of God principle is to encourage others as they step out in faith. So if you're around them, just lay hands on them, on their back, on their arm, grab their hand. And when you lay hands on somebody, you are acting as though you are God, and God is going to pray and bless them through your hand. Let's pray for them. Let's bow your head. Lord, we just pray for these people. We pray you honor them as they step out in faith to minister to us. And we pray as they minister to us through song that you would minister to them and encourage them. And I pray you bless all the people who are praying right now, praying for them, that you would honor their faith to reach out their hand and lay hands on these people. In Jesus' name, amen. So kingdom principles are from heaven. The reason that kingdom principles aren't completely foreign to us is because we were made in the image of God. So we can kind of vibe with, you know, that's why the tsunami broke so many people's hearts. Breaks God's heart. Okay? So those are kingdom principles. Now, some of the kingdom principles you have to understand is that all the talents God gave to his servants, all the money he gave to his servants was his money. God gave all those servants ability to manage that money. It was God's ability he gave them. Even the servants themselves don't belong to themselves. They belong to him. What does that mean? Everything you have, all your opportunities, all your resources, and your very life belongs to God. That's a kingdom principle. You may not understand that. You may think you belong to you. You may think things belong to you. No, it all belongs to God. And God has given this to you, and he's going to come back to hold you accountable. Because look at our notes. Look at the first point we're going to look at. For a good kingdom investor. One, a good, faithful kingdom investor places a high value on the owner's expectation for high profit. A good kingdom investor places high value on the owner's expectation for high profit. What does that mean? That means that one day, God is going to come back and sit you down and ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? And not only is he going to ask you what you did with what he gave you, he is going to expect high profit. What does that mean? A whole lot of fruit in your life. There's a ex-football coach named Bill McCartney. He coached at University of Colorado, Buffaloes. Then he started Promise Keepers, and now he has another ministry. And I can't remember what I was talking to him one day. I can't remember what I was talking to him about. But I was sitting in the chair next to him. He was sitting in the chair next to me, and his face was about 10 inches from my face. And he had his legs spread. He was like all up on top of me. This brother is intense. And I was in the back to my chair, so I couldn't move away. And he was like in my face. He was telling me a story about the Buffaloes were going to play this important football game, and he told his team the day before, 2 days before the game, that the next day he was going to call all of them into his office. And he wanted to know in 60 seconds or less what he could expect from every single one of them. Let me say that again. I'm going to call, let's say you're the football team. It's a big football team, but let's say y'all the football team. And tomorrow, man, it's going to take us probably a week, but tomorrow, for the next week, I'm going to call every single one of you, and I'm the coach. I'm going to call every single one of you, and you're going to tell me what you're going to do in this game. So you got to go home to your room and think, I'm going to score 2 touchdowns. I'm going to get a sack. I'm going to have 5 tackles. Nobody's going to beat me and get to the quarterback. Whatever it is, I'm going to catch every ball caught to me, and when I catch it, I'm just going to take 3 guys to get me down. And I got to come tell the coach, Coach, here's what I'm going to do tomorrow. Here's what you can expect. You can't come in and go, well, Coach, you know, I'm just a Christian. Whatever happens, you know, I just praise the Lord. And No. Don't want to hear that. I want to know what you're going to do. You know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to come back and say, listen, I gave you 10 talents. What'd you do with it? I gave you the ability to make money. I gave you the ability to preach. I gave you the ability to teach. I gave you the ability to organize, strategize. What'd you do? I gave you the propensity to pray for people. Did you pray for people? I gave you eyes to see, a mouth to talk, hands to touch, ears to listen. Did you use them for my glory? I gave you a job where you had access to the chief of police, the chief of the fire department. You have access to an owner of a company. Did you ever pray for that person? Did you ever encourage that person? What did you do with what I gave you? He's going to, I don't know how that's going to work. You know, I don't know how he's going to do that. I don't know how that all works out. I'm going to guess, but it's probably not this way, but just let's just think for a minute. You're going up to the pearly gates. You're going to heaven. You think you're in. It's done. I'm set. Boom, boom, boom. Not going to hell. You're walking up, starting to get a little beat in your walk, because now you know you're going to heaven. And you see, you know, all the people out there at the pearly gates selling tickets. And you go through the first gate. The angels, and you're all excited. And then right before you go in, there's a little man over here, little old guy. Like, what's up with that? Have a seat. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. You're going to heaven. Don't worry about it. But this little interview, pre-heaven interview. You made in your lifetime $17 million. What'd you do with it? You met 13,000 people in your lifetime. Did you tell them about me? I gave you 3 kids. Do they know the Bible? Maybe your wife. You ever have Bible study in your house? You ever let anybody, you ever use your car to build a kingdom? Imagine if he asked all that question. And then he said to you, if you were to use all the spiritual gifts I gave you, this is what could happen. But you know what? You were so caught up in you. Now, you're going to heaven. And this is the last time opportunity you're going to have before eternal bliss and no heartache. But I just want you to sit here for a little while and think about that. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but let's make it happen now. Think about that. Because God's coming back. And he says, I'm going to come back, and I want to know what these brothers did with my money. Now, this is not only about money. This is about your talents, your opportunity. You know what I say? Okay. I was going to say something bad. This is about your talents, your opportunities, your spiritual gifts. This is about all of that. All of that, your education, your experience. There's a new show come out, and I can't believe I haven't seen it yet. It's called Numbers. I love Numbers. And my wife's kids said, you're going to love this show. Just this. I just see the commercials. I'm all jacked up. Some of y'all got a opportunity, abilities in your brain. Some people hate numbers. Some people love numbers. What'd you do with that? Was it all about you? Let me challenge you. Place a high value. I can't wait. I hope that I have a lot to say. I hope that this is what drives me every day, knowing this is going to happen, because I don't want to come up short. Look at number two. A kingdom investor predetermines the magnitude of his profits. The higher the faith, the higher the profits. In business, they call it the higher the risk, the higher the profit potential. Now, you have to understand something. Let me say this. If you ever hear people talking about ministry is not business, let me correct you. Any proper business practices come from the Bible. This is a business model. Jesus didn't steal this from the world. He created this. And so don't confuse shrewdness, investment, profit or reward, or doubling and tripling what you have as a worldly thing. It's a spiritual thing. And so a kingdom investor has an asset. It's your spiritual gift. And you could take that asset and bury it, or you could take that asset and use it. You can use it more wisely than some. It does matter. It does matter. And so you determine how much fruit comes from your asset. You could take your asset. I give an example. If I gave you $1,000, which we are not, one guy could take that $1,000 and say, man, I got that. I'm going to put it in the bank. You'll get 2%. You know what that amounts to? A donut at Christmas time. And nothing. You are predetermining, I'm putting it in the bank, and I'm going to get 2%, and that's it. Or you could take that, invest it in the CD, you can invest it in real estate, you can invest it in stocks, you can invest it in bonds. Put in different things you already determined least the potential of your return. Very simple. You have the gift of preaching. You have the gift of prayer. You know what? You can determine how much your prayer, predetermine how much benefits your prayer is by praying or not praying. All of you have the equal opportunity to pray. If you pray 1 minute a day, you will get less results than if you pray five. You will get less results if you pray 10. Basic. Don't think that that's not true. That's true. Even in your tithing, you give $1, $5, $10. You get exponentially more blessing. It's not the amount of money, it's the amount of faithfulness. It's not the amount of money, it's the percentage based on what you have. God blesses you according to your faithfulness. And so whatever it is in ministry, you predetermine the blessing based on what you do. In this case, the guy who had five talents, he invested it all and doubled his money, 100%. The guy who had one buried in the ground. Why do people do that? Why do people take what God has given them and bury it in the ground? Why do people take the opportunities God has given them and don't take them? I'm going to give you three reasons. Look at your notes. One, fear of failure. Some people are scared of losing what they have. You know what the definition of failure in the Bible is? Disobedience. Failure in the Bible is disobedience. Why? Because you cannot determine what happens when you invest. Only God does that. You can only determine if you're going to put yourself in a position for maximum blessing. In other words, if you pray 5 minutes versus 1 minute, you are putting yourself in a position, a higher chance of more answers to your prayers. But you can't determine what God does. God is the one who brings increase. Your job is just to do what he says. By faith, not knowing what he will do, but trusting it will be beneficial. So some people don't invest their spiritual gifts and don't invest in the kingdom in whatever opportunity God gives them because they feel like, you know what, I'm going to fail. I'm not going to get as much as the next guy. Okay, look at the next one. Compared to the next guy, I don't have much. Stop wasting your time comparing what you know about yourself to what you think you know about somebody else. See, we compare our inside, what we know inside, compared to someone else's outside, what we see. You do not know other people's lives. You don't know the gifts they have. You don't know the responsibilities they have. You don't know how they got what they got. You don't even know if what they got is theirs. You may see someone driving out. You ever see people driving nice cars, nice house, come to find out they're renting it all? Yo, man, I was wondering, how you get that car? You know, you work at Mickey D's and driving a Porsche. How you do that? Well, that probably a drug dealer, I'm trying to say, but someone working at McDonald's driving a Benz, you know, you might want to ask and kind of investigate. It may be his uncle's. It may be his dad's. Oh, but you wasted so much time trying to compare, assess, guess, snoop. Don't snoop. Number three, you don't think your little can amount to much. You know, I don't have that much. What's $5 going to do? Last week or 2 weeks ago, we showed that we had how much money we collected for the month for our building. It was $238,000 for the building that month. And when it was a check for $50,000, it was a check for $200.48. The check for $2.48 is not less important than a check for $50,000. It's all a percentage on what that person has. And that check of $2.48, that person's going to be blessed according to the percentage he gave. It has nothing to do with what the other person gave. Nothing. It has everything to do with what God has called that person to do based on their ability. That's all that matters. But if you look at your life and ask, am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And you may think, well, you know what? What's 5 minutes more prayer going to do? What's praying for somebody in the parking lot when I'm walking by feeling like I should pray for them? What good is that going to do? What's good is that if I need to encourage somebody in the grocery line because they tell me their boo-hoo story about their life? What good is it going to do for me to pray for them? That's not for you to decide. Matter of fact, let me give you a little math. I love math. Let me give you a little math exercise here. We got some numbers in our lesson plan. And we're going to fill in some numbers. I want you to watch how these numbers compound and grow. This is called kingdom compounding. 3 times 3 times 3 times 3 times 3 is 243. 3 times 3 times 3 times 3 times 3 is 243. Okay? Now, if you just up that 30%, one number, 4 times 4 times 4 times 4 times 4 is 1,024. All you did was increase it 30%, but you multiplied by 300% the result when you compound it day after day after day after day. Now let's up that another 20%, 25%, one number. 5 times 5 times 5 times 5 times 5 is what? 3,125. All you did was up it 20%, 25%, I'm sorry. Now let's up it 20%, one more. To 6 times 6 times 6 times 6 times 6, 7,776. Now all you did was up it 30%, 25%, 20%, a little bit over time grows to be 300. Look at the difference between 243 and 7,700. That's a whole lot. What is the point? You pray 5 minutes a day? Why don't you pray 6? 7. You don't just get 2 minutes more blessing. You compound that day after day after day after day, and it compounds a whole lot more than that. Same thing with your time that you serve, same thing with money you invest in the kingdom, same thing with saying encouraging words to people, or the amount of times you bless people, the amount of times you obey. You get in the habit where instead of obeying 20% of the time, you obey 25% of the time. You obey 30% of the time. And how much God is going to honor you over time, more and more and more and more, you can't measure that. That's a kingdom principle. The problem is, do you believe it? That's the problem. See, we don't believe this is going to happen. That's why we don't do it. That's why I challenged you last week. Do exactly what God says and watch that happen in your life. In all areas of your life. Trust me, you will be turning right, left, looking at all these miracles happening in your life. All these coincidences, these divine appointments, these unknown blessings coming in the mail to your house. If anybody here has been financially faithful, you know you get checks in the mail. You don't even know where they come from. Amen? Now, if you didn't say amen, you're thinking, do all those people really get checks in the mail and they don't know where they come from? Yeah. How many people here got a check in the mail? Well, where does this thing come from? And you're like, dang. And it's like the day you committed to be financially faithful, the day you committed to start witnessing to people, some lost soul gets sent to your face. What if you were faithful every little step of the way and it compounded, compounded? Don't compare. Don't think you don't have. Don't think it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. Look at the next one. Kingdom investors participate in profit sharing. 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 God causes and receives the increase from the investor. This is so fascinating. I read this thing so many times, I never saw this. When a kingdom investor invests in God's kingdom, whether it be in your gifts, your ministry, your time, your talent, your tithe, whatever it is, whatever results of the increase, you end up giving back to God anyway. When I die, and hopefully the Lord comes back before I die, what I'm going to present to God is my family, Ephesians 5. You present your wife and the church. This rock church belongs to Jesus. It's not mine. Because you know what? We are the body. So I can't, the body of Christ can't belong to me. And I'm going to say, Lord, here's your church. I do that every day when I pray for you. Here's your church. It's not mine. So when you see someone being blessed, guess what? It ain't theirs. If you ever get jealous of somebody, oh, look, they got this, they got this. Just tell yourself to reverse psychologize yourself. Just say, it's not theirs anyway. Oh, she just thinks she all cute because she got that long hair. It's probably a weave anyway. I know it ain't her. Well, it's not hers because it's a weave. It's not hers, but even if it's coming out of her own head. Or if you just want a nice house or a nice car, just to get yourself over your little jealousy, just tell yourself it don't belong to them. It belongs to God. You don't belong to you. You belong to God. Let's read it. Look what it says in verse 20. He who received 5 talents came and brought another 5, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5. Look, I have gained 5 more beside them. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. You know what he says? He says, Lord, you gave me 5. Here's 10. Lord, you gave me a house. Here's it back. You gave me a life and breath and health. Excuse me. Here's my life. You gave me friends. Here's my friends. How do you give it to him? By prayer, you submit it to his lordship. I will use it however you want. You know, when you say to God, God, I will let you use me in my things however you want. You know what God does in heaven? Again, I'm speculating. God does this. Really? You know, when you were on your fast last week and you kind of, and especially y'all who did the whole juice thing, right in the middle of the week, you were probably feeling kind of different. Anybody? Amen? You know what that was? You were being disconnected from the world. And God was doing this. Can I have you? Can I have all of you? This is interesting. We give God the fruit of everything we do. You know what we get? 3 things. Look what it says in verse 21. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. We get a pat on the back. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. We get more responsibility. And we enter into the joy of the Lord. When will Jesus be enough? I was on a plane going to somewhere the other day and sat down next to this guy, and he started talking to me about my phone and you know how it works, and about it, you know, just stuff. And he asked me what I did, and I said, I'm a pastor. And he says, you know, did you go to school, blah, blah, blah. We started small talk about that. Then we started talking about employees and, you know, business, because I thought he was in business because he said he was in business, or in the business he was in. He says, well, how long you had your church? I says, we're having our 5-year anniversary on February 27th. Just coming up 5 years. He says, how many people do you have at your church? And I said, well, we go by how many people are in church. So last week we had 5,900. He heard me say 59. He didn't hear the 100 part. But, you know, he didn't make a blink. He says, oh, okay, 59 people, 5 years. And, you know, wow, you know. So, you know, I didn't think he was thinking anything of it, but then we started talking. We started talking about human resources and employees and business. And he says, well, how many employees do you have? I said, oh, we have 50. And he told me later, he says, I was thinking, man, you don't have to hire everyone that comes to your church. So he's thinking in his mind, poor guy, 5 years, 59 people. He obviously hasn't figured out he's not a leader and it doesn't work. And he's, you know, he's probably get out and just come work for me or something, you know, just do something else or something, you know. And I'm not thinking he's thinking this because I don't know where he's going. But when I said I have 50 employees, and he says, you have 50 employees and 59 people in your church? And I said, no, 5,900. So we started talking. Come to find out, he's a pastor. And he was just setting me up. And I started thinking about, I mean, this went on for like 20 minutes before I found this out. So he asked me all these questions. And I'm thinking, oh, you were just setting me up. I was getting ready to witness to him. And then it comes to find out, we were both going to the same conference, and he and I were the keynote speakers, speaking right back to back to each other. So we're talking, and we had a very fascinating conversation. But he was telling me about, you know, his journey. He's been a pastor of the church. He's at 20 years now and blah, blah. And he used to get into the numbers thing. And, you know, and he says, you know what? God challenged me and asked me this question. When will just Jesus be enough? In other words, when would just you knowing and walking with Christ be all that's necessary? And we talked about that. And with us, you know, we do all this stuff. And I say us, I mean all of us in this room. We work, we invest, we have friends, we have fun, we buy houses and cars and bigger and better. And Christ wants to know, when will just me be enough? Those things aren't bad. But what if he said no? Would you be okay? And the worldly mindset is, me, I got to get more. Me, I got to get more for me. The kingdom says, no, invest, grow, but it all belongs to me. And if I want to take it, move it around, use it, borrow it, give it to that person, guess what? Let it go. That's kingdom investing. Is that it's about profit sharing. He gets all the credit. He gets all the profit. You get a pat on the head, more responsibility, enjoy. That's the deal. Amen? You may not agree, amen, I want to do that, but amen, that's what it is. Lastly, it says, man values and receives praise, joy, and response, more responsibility from the Lord. That's what we get. Jesus, when will Jesus be enough? Fourthly, a kingdom investor protects all of his talents from the death dirt. Protects all his talents from the death dirt. You know, someone once said that riches and all the things that we hold on to in this world are like cow manure. They're no good when they're in a pile. You got to spread them around. Let's read chapter, same chapter, verse 24. He who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid. I went and hid the talent in the ground. Look, you have here what is yours. His Lord said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back with my own interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has more, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is a very shrewd investor. We look at Christ as this nice guy. We can do what we want, and he'll just, it's okay. He died. He's invested in you. My son asked me for allowance about a month ago.
Daddy, I need some money. Can I have an allowance?
I didn't get allowance growing up. So the concept of me giving free money is foreign. So I was like, tell me how this is going to work. I work. I make money and just give it to you. Now I'm a rational kind of brother most of the time. Tell me how that makes sense to you. Does that make sense to you?
Well, yeah, you know, you're my dad and you're supposed to give me money.
I'm like, where is that in the contract? Where do you see that? I said, as a matter of fact, give me any good reason why I should continue to feed you and keep you alive. Because the only reason you're alive is because I'm feeding you. I am your parental life support system. Without me, you die. Matter of fact, my wife goes out of town. She rarely does whenever she leaves for more than, you know, 8 hours. My kids are like, well, who's going to die? Because they know I'm not going to, you know, I'm pulling the plug on the machine. Y'all just on your own, baby. What are we going to eat, Dad? Whatever you figure out. My question to them, why should I keep you alive? Same question I asked these people at this conference I was at in Virginia with all these pastors and ministers. We were there, it was a, you know, a leadership conference to help their churches grow. I asked this question to them. I told them that story. Now here's my question. Why should God keep your ministries alive? Why should God keep you alive here in the church? Why? Why should he not kill you right now? Why? You're wearing his clothes. They belong to him. You live in his house, your apartment, your condo belongs to him. Driving his car, spending his money, speaking with voice he gave you, seeing with eyes he gave you, using the brain he created and put in your skull. Why should he let you live to invest in his kingdom? That's why. He's waiting. Come on. Let's go. You got opportunity. You got abilities, talents, resources. Let's go. We got stuff to do. It's not so you can do for you. It's to do for him. That's the point. Now, the world doesn't see that because the world's all about me-ism. This is about him-ism. And lordship is that about, Lord, I am here for you. What do you want me to do? And in the middle of your fast, you got to experience that. That's why you were feeling kind of different. You started to drift away from the world, and you started to get in touch with the kingdom. And you were like, wow, that stuff doesn't matter. I don't need cookies and candy, and I don't need all that stuff anymore. I don't need to have people on the phone gossiping all day. I don't need to watch so much TV. That's what you were kind of, and people ask you what's going on. I don't know. I don't know. It just feels different. And that's what you were doing. Felt good, didn't it? It doesn't have to change. You don't have to go back. So God says, why should I keep you alive? And now that you've tasted that, you want some more? You can have it. You determine. Pray more. Read more. Sacrifice more. Don't spend so much time wasting being distracted. You determine it. It's up to you. Here's what we're going to do. Now, I got to explain this to you before we do it. Everyone pull this card out. It's in your deal here. Looks like this. Lord of the things. Please listen very carefully. Con cuidado. With careful. Let me tell you what this is not. We are not collecting your information to put in a database and put you on a mailing list. That will not happen. This is a postcard that is going to be mailed back to you. It's a commitment to lordship. When you fill this card out, we're going to collect it. We're going to put it in a bag or a box or a drawer, and at an undisclosed time, we're going to send it right back to you. We're not going to take your information off this card. Number two, you are not committing to anything that we are going to track you with. It's between you and God. Why do you write it down? Because when you write it, it's different than when you say it. We're going to fill you, and let's read it together, because all you're going to do is put your address and name. You're not going to sign your name. We want you to print your name, and we're going to send it back. Let's read it together on the white side. I'll read it, you listen, please. Lord of the things. If he isn't the Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all. Let's read that together from Lord. 1, 2, 3. Lord of the things. If he isn't, Jesus isn't Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all. Let's keep reading. I submit to the complete lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of my life, comma, and vow to honor God with my time, comma, my tithes, comma, and my talents. What does that mean? That means that God, I am committing. I've been through the series. I understand the concept. And I am committing in writing to you that I'm going to honor you in these areas. Now, if you don't want to fill it out, guess what? Don't fill it out. You go to another church, you're not committing these things to the rock. You're committing these things to God. You go to another church, fill it out. It applies to you and your church. We're going to put this in a box. I'm going to mail it back to you as a reminder at some future date. It's a postcard. Are you with me on that? So we're going to take 90 seconds to fill in the appropriate blanks if you are prepared to do this. And we'll all just sit just for a second, and we'll be out of here in 2 minutes. You guys done? Okay, let's hold it up. Here's what I want you to do. Everybody on this side, all you're gonna do is pass it to the end of the aisle in your section this way. Everybody over here, you're gonna pass it to the aisle to the end of the section this way, and the ushers will pick them up, and then we're gonna pray. To the middle. To the middle. Starting the week after the Super Bowl, we're going to start a series called the Salvation Army. Army is four letters. They represent four words. Those four words represent the four pillars of being a person of the rock. People say, I go to the rock. All you got to do is ask them, do you do these four things? We'll tell you what those are in 2 weeks. Next week's Super Bowl, we're going to have a special communion service. We won't have 5 o'clock service because no one comes during the Super Bowl. So we're going to be watching the game, and then we'll have service after the game. Thanks for coming to all the series. Next series is going to be more powerful. Next series ends at the Cox Arena on Easter. Our goal is 10,000 people. We're paying for 10,000 people. The arena charges the same no matter how many you get. So let's use the empty seats. Amen? That's a kingdom principle. Let's not waste that seat. Lord, we thank you for being Lord of our life. We thank you for being Lord. I pray you bless everybody here this week. I pray that they would fulfill the commitment they made. And I pray, Lord, that I pray you rock our world. I thank you so much for being God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll tell you one very short testimony. I woke up very discouraged today and went to bed very discouraged last night for a lot of reasons I don't want to get into. And was just not dreading coming to church, because I love coming to church, but just discouraged. And 8 o'clock service was the most exciting they've ever been since we started this church. I couldn't believe it. And this service is always exciting, so it was the same. But I say all that because I'm excited and blessed now. But sometimes when the devil's beating on you, what you can always count on is if you're getting beat down, stop yourself and say, the devil's attacking me. God's got something good coming. Say that every time, and it'll get you through. Amen? Let's sing a song. Amen? Amen. Amen.